The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning to looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind on not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with his holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Last week, our vestry went away on our annual vestry retreat. Now, for those of you who are newer to the church, the vestry is the administrative and spiritual guide for the church. So as the planner of such retreats, I try to balance out the strategic planning with the need for spiritual development. Now you may ask, as indeed some of them did, why do we need spiritual development? I mean, we have budgets and we have plans and we need to get our goals going. Why do we need to do retreat, much less spiritual retreat? What kind of work is that? And yet, I would challenge you, as I challenge them, that spiritual work is actually the harder work that we as Christians do. And it's what the vestry experienced last weekend. Not to be not thankful for all of you here, but showing up at church is easy compared to the discipline of living out your faith the other 6 days of the week, much less into this afternoon. That's why I take a nap. I can't mess up for another hour and a half if I'm asleep. And in one of the conversations with the vestry, we began to talk about just what does the kingdom of God look like? If we as Christians are supposed to bring about the kingdom of God, what does that mean for our daily life? Does it mean prayer? Does it mean coming to church more often or more regularly? Does it mean participating in outreach or pledging our money? What does it mean to be godly? And as we talked about last weekend, what does it mean for St. Cross as a community to bring about the kingdom of God? So we have a really great vestry this year, and they boiled it down to one word. They're that good. The heart of the kingdom of God isn't about love. How many of you thought I was going to say love is my one word? Mm-hmm. Okay, it is about love. Love is an important factor. But truly, the heart of the kingdom of God is harder than love. Because the heart of the kingdom of God is being in right relationship. Relationship is exactly where we find ourselves in both the Old Testament and the gospel readings today. In Genesis, we find God making the covenant with Abram, whose name gets changed to Abraham as part of this covenant. And yes, it's one of many covenants if you're a Genesis freak like I am, but we're going to take it as the covenant today because it's the one that we're reading. And God says, you will change your name to Abraham. And twice in this passage, and in fact, I think it's six times between chapters 15 and 17, God says, I will establish my covenant between me and you. Covenant. Covenant in those days was a legal term that bound two parties together. But we use it as more than that because you see, God didn't just establish covenant with Abraham, but God, if you read, established covenant with all of Abraham's offspring down through the generations, right down through Jesus, right down to us. God is the God of Abraham, the God to Abraham's descendants, and most importantly, God to each and every one of us today. Now that covenant that began with Abraham has been shaped, honed, if you will, down through the great leaders of Israel, such as Moses with the Ten Commandments. I quizzed the 8 o'clock service. They had no idea what Moses had done. So I'm telling you, the Ten Commandments. And it's been honed down through the prophets, the great prophets and the smaller prophets. And then Jesus gets to it, and Jesus takes the covenant and boils it down a little bit further in the Gospel of Mark than where we are today. And Jesus says in that great commandment that the most important law, the most important binding agreement, is you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says there are no other commandments greater than these. Covenant with God. The kingdom of God, as Jesus lays out for us now, means not only relationship with God as it did with Abraham, but relationship with our neighbor. And if you're wondering about who your neighbor is, it's not only the people who live in your city, we might want to pay attention to them first, but it is also every other human being on this planet. That is your neighbor. Now, both the Israelites and the disciples, thanks goodness, have given us plenty examples of how very hard it is to follow this law, how difficult it is to follow God, to stay in covenant with God. I want you to look at your bulletin for a second. Look at the collect. That's that prayer that we say at the start of the service that collects our intention for the day. And I want you to take this home. I want you to pray this week. I always like it when I can add another Lenten discipline onto whatever else you may be doing, or if you're doing nothing, make you feel good like you have one. Look at the collect. It says, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways and bring them again. Bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and not hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. We fall away. We follow our own devices and desires. And we learn again and again that staying in covenant is not easy, which is exactly why Jesus tells the disciples and the crowds today in our gospel, if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny ourselves and take up our cross? Well, that language is kind of antithetical to the world in which we live. Because if we're honest, especially here in Southern California, we live in a world where getting more for yourself is never enough. And honestly, sometimes we forget to care to see if there is enough for the next person. You can just look at CEO salaries nationally compared to those who are working. Getting more is never enough. We live in a world where self-denial for the good of others is unheard of. We're all okay to give out of our excess. Oh, look, I have this left over. I will give that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But giving away to meet the needs of others to the point where it would change our lives, where we would downsize or choose differently or shop differently, that's a hard cross for us to take up. It's a challenge for all of us because we are messaged 1,000 times a day to live like that. Yet, what if we take it out of the marketplace? What if we just take it away from stuff? What if we looked at that second part that Jesus says and apply it to how we treat our neighbor? Relationship with our neighbor is a direct reflection of our relationship with God. In treating one another as human beings when we disagree is certainly not our strong point. Now, for those of you who are not on Facebook, forgive me for a minute. I will back into it and explain it. But we saw an excellent example of dehumanizing one another over what color is a dress on Thursday. Now, for those of you who don't have Facebook, there is a dress. And depending on the biological cones in your eyes, you will see this dress in a certain light as white and gold, or black and blue, same dress, okay? Now, people on Facebook were tirading about a dress, and they were dividing into camps, and they were calling each other idiots, and worse than that, and they were being mean to each other unnecessarily, and they were belittling each other because we all saw the same object in two different ways, white and gold. Yes. Now, does this type of behavior sound familiar? Don't we do the same thing in our families when we disagree about both big and little issues? How we care for one another, when we gather together, when we separate from one another? Don't we do this in our local politics? It's okay to say anything as long as I'm right. Don't we do this in our theologies? And I'm guilty as this one, as much as the others. I don't agree with your theology, and I don't really need to be in relationship with you. And when we do that, we not only break relationship, we deny the humanity of another human being. I don't have to be neighborly with you. I don't have to treat you as I would want to be treated. There's little room for difference of opinion that leads to building a bridge, dare I say, building up the kingdom of God, if we cannot get past our differences to work with our neighbor. We don't want to do often the hard work of working with our neighbor, of respecting the dignity of every human being, because we want to be right. But the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, unity sows more than division. Not unity with those with whom you agree, but unity with everybody. kingdom of God. Taking up our cross for the kingdom of God does not ask us to be right or even righteous. The building of the kingdom of God is hard work. The vestry learned that last week. But it is this very hard work that each of us as Christians is called to do, not only year-round, but especially in this time of Lent. We are to work on professing our faith, to do the work of loving God and loving our neighbor, even when it's hard, even when it's antithetical to the messages we hear everyone else. Doing the hard work of being able to disagree with civility and also find common ground is important because when we do that, we view one another as God views us. We see one another as beloved. So I call on all of us, individually and as a parish, to take up our cross, to take it up today and tomorrow, and walk with one another for the rest of our lives. Amen.